Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and feel the presence of the Lord. And I will guarantee you that I won't be done by noon. So we'll have that out of the way. All right. Not saying that I'm a long-winded preacher, but seeing the clock, I know that there's a good shot that that we'll be here sometime after 12. Anyway, I want to say I'm thankful to be here. Appreciate the invitation. Thank you for the invitation, the opportunity to preach. And in preaching this morning, I hope to minister. There's a difference between preaching and ministering, and we like to get the two together. Amen, right? So I'm, the Lord will help us and anoint us this morning in preaching to minister. And I want you to be able to walk out of here this morning knowing that God has spoke to you. And knowing that God has spoke to that need or that situation that dominates your every thought. Amen. That need or that situation that not only dominates your every waking thought, but it's intruding into your sleep at night. I want you to know God knows what that is. And I believe this morning, by the grace of God, He's going to speak to that. Amen. Now, it's not often that a preacher gets the opportunity to almost preach with a clean slate, but I doubt that there's a dozen people here this morning that's ever heard me preach. That's good for me. That's good for you. Amen. And that way, I don't have, you know, any expectations, and you don't have any expectations. You know, it's just... You know, there's this guy in here, never heard of him, don't know who he is. He's filling in for Brother Blue. It's going to be a one and done, okay? Everybody can do with that, right? It's an old preacher that I grew up with out in California, and he was a little bit of a cowboy and also a preacher and a great man of God, Brother Calvin Taylor. He used to have a saying. He would say, "I have a mule that's never been ridden, and you've never ridden. Why don't you come out on the ranch, and you two just learn together?" So that's the kind of how that thing works. Anyway, of course, you'll understand when I say this morning that I had rather be here under different circumstances because our hearts have been deeply saddened by the loss of Sister Harris. And I told Brother Blue that our hearts ached for them and for Brother Allen this weekend and earlier in the week when we heard the news. And they're precious people. And also wanted to say, and just forgive me while I talk through my nervousness, that we appreciate and hold your former pastor in high esteem as well as Brother Blue, the intermediate pastor. And we hold them in high esteem and respect them both and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. As the scripture says, amen. Now, I went to a meeting one time, and the guy was up directing the service, and he proceeded to take a few minutes to reprimand us all for having favorite preachers. He wasn't my favorite. Anyway, after he waxed eloquent for a few minutes about why we shouldn't have favorite preachers, and it really didn't seem to make any sense to me. I thought about it, and I concluded that generally we classify preachers and preaching into three categories. All preachers fall into one of these three categories. The first category is someone that we look forward to hearing them preach again. The second category is we don't mind if we hear them preach again. And the third category is, I don't care if I ever hear him preach again. Am I right? Do all preachers fit in one of those three categories? And Brother Blue has always been a Category 1 preacher for me. I'm not going to give you an example of a Category 3 preacher. But I do hope this morning at least to make a Category 2 preacher. Okay, so anyway, we'll be reading this morning out of the book of Luke, chapter number 11. If I remember right, it's your custom to stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. So reading out of the book of Luke, chapter number 11 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when he had said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he shall, from within, shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word this morning, Lord, to this congregation of people. Lord, you know every heart. You know the ache of every heart. Lord, you know the tear, Lord, that fell from every eye this morning, Lord. God, you know everything there is to know about us, Lord. You are acquainted with all of our ways. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost would be among us, Lord, that you would settle upon us. God, I ask you, Lord, that it would settle upon me, Lord. Help me to say things this morning that I have not thought of saying, but it is directly inspired and prompted by you, Lord, this morning. I pray that you would speak to hearts, Lord. Lord, and visit with us and help us, Lord, in these altars this morning, Lord. And we give you the praise for it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want to title this message this morning, Asking for an Egg and Expecting an Egg. Amen. And I know that's the last, towards the end of our reading, and it might take me some time to get there. But I chose this morning to read this text in its entirety because this is Jesus' most powerful teachings on the subject of prayer. And I notice in the beginning of this text, it says that as he was praying in a certain place and he concluded his prayers, that one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. What an experience that must have been to be able to listen to Jesus pray. Amen. Jesus, the Son of God, who has had this eternal relationship with the Father, who is more acquainted with the Father than any other being in existence, to hear him pray to his Father, to hear him intercede, in prayer to his father. And evidently, it was such a profound and moving experience that at the end of it, when the disciples knew that he was concluding his prayer, one of them spoke up and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now that in itself is a prayer. Amen. And a very important prayer, a very valuable prayer. "Lord, teach us to pray." And if you pray that prayer, if you say, "Lord, teach me to pray," you can expect him to answer it. And here's how you can expect him to answer it. You can expect him to answer that prayer probably by putting you in a very desperate state of circumstances. Amen. You can expect him to answer that prayer by putting you in a situation or a circumstance in which you are so desperate that you are simply pleading with God that he would move in the midst of that situation. Amen. Briefly, just outlining this text, verses 2 through 4 is what we know as the Lord's Prayer, and we call that a pattern for prayer. Verses 5 through 8 is the parable of importunity, and we are calling that persistence in prayer. And then verses 9 and 10, an admonition to prayer, and we're calling that to even the promise that is found in prayer. Amen. I'm probably going to spend more time on the promise than any of the rest of it because there's a lot of information here. Way too much to preach on one Sunday morning. Amen. But what I notice, notice the chain in verses 5 through 8, persistence in prayer. Which of you having a friend, will go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is come." Here you have a picture of intercession. I have a friend that is in need. I am coming to you because I do not have what it takes to meet that need. I have a friend who has the loaves. I have a friend who has the hunger. Amen. What am I? I am the intermediate. I am the one who is going to the one who has the loaves and say, "I have a friend that has what you need." Amen. That is intercession. I have a son in need. I have a daughter in need. My home is in need. My church is in need. I have a friend who is sick and afflicted in body, and they are in need. Amen. And on it goes in intercession. I have a friend in need. And the Bible says he rises and answers, not because he is his friend, but because of his importunity. Amen. That word importunity means persistence, shameless boldness. Now, I have some friends that I know, and they have told me so, "You can call me any time you need me, day or night." Do you have a friend like that? Amen. I'm thankful for friends that think enough of our relationship to say something like that to me. That being said, I have never done it. Amen. I mean, we've been through some stuff. And when I'm awake at 2 a.m, amen, and tears are filling my eyes and my heart is aching and my heart is breaking, I am not going to call Brother Noah Martinez out in Arizona at 2 a.m. my time. It's 11 o'clock his time. I'm not going to call him and wake him up out of sleep and say, "Brother Noah, I just need somebody to talk to." Amen. Now, he probably would understand if I did, and maybe a time or two I should have. Amen. But there is a desperation here in this passage.
when you are going to go to a friend at midnight, when you are going to pound on his door till you wake him out of sleep, amen, till you are going to present your request, amen, and the prayer was answered and the request was answered, amen, and it was not because he was his friend, but it's because he would not stop pounding on the door. Amen. Glory to God. Shameless boldness and audacity. It's the same principle that is laid out in the parable of the unjust judge, found in Luke chapter number 18, where the Bible says he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there is in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. The faith that he is looking for is the faith that is demonstrated in persistence. Is there somebody that believes in God enough to keep pounding on heaven's door? Is there somebody with enough faith in God enough to keep knocking on heaven's door and to keep presenting that petition and keep calling that name to God in prayer? Amen. Is there anybody that has that kind of faith? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. In verses 9 and 10, there's contained here the promise. Amen. The promise that is found in prayer. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It is, maybe you've noticed this before. Maybe this is nothing new to you, but it's interesting to me. Ask, seek, and knock gives us the acronym of ASK. Amen. It is a picture of prayer. Jesus gives an illustration, a word picture to drive this home. Amen. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Amen. Knocking until there is an answer. Knocking until the door opens. Knocking until there is an affirmative response. Amen. And I want you to notice here the sequence of increasing desperation. It is one thing to ask for something, but you take it to the next level when you begin to seek for it, and you take it to the next level when you begin to knock. There is a sequence of increasing desperation, and there is a sequence of increasing value. Amen. For he says, which of you, if he has a son, ask bread. So in this illustration Jesus gives us, there is bread, there is fish, and there is an egg. Amen. A sequence of increasing value. Bread, it was the most common food available. It was the food of the everyday Jewish household. The most common food. Amen. And when we talk about asking God for bread, Jesus in his prayer, amen, said, give us this day. We were taught to ask, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Those things that we are asking for daily sustenance and daily provision. Amen. Give us our daily bread, the vital sustenance and existence that we need. Amen. So there was bread that was part of the Jewish diet. And then there was the fish. Amen. Fish was less abundant. Amen. Less available throughout most of Israel. Unless you lived by Galilee or lived by the River Jordan or lived close to the Mediterranean Sea, more than likely fish was not part of your diet. Amen. So when you are asking for fish, you are asking for something that is a little more special. That's a need that's just a little more pressing. Amen. But we don't quite get the correlation about an egg, because modern commercial egg production has made us view eggs as something that's readily available in our diet. But in Bible days, an egg was a delicacy, and keeping birds for the purpose of their eggs was almost unheard of. And so an egg was considered a luxury. Even in medieval paintings, you'll see the spread of the king's table, and there'll be all kinds of meats and all kinds of foods and all kinds of baked goods. Amen. But in front of the guest of honor and in front of the highest ranking dignitaries, there'll be an egg holder with one egg per person, because they were rare. It was a luxury. Amen. It was something that was not part of their everyday diet. Amen. And so Jesus said, amen, if you need bread, ask for bread. If you need fish, ask for fish. But if you need an egg, you can expect your heavenly Father to give you an egg. Amen. These are not randomly chosen items. Jesus was not just up there talking to the disciples about prayer, just choosing random illustrations. Amen. But there is a purpose here, and there is a pattern here. Amen. Fish pictures those pressing, urgent needs. Amen. That press me to go from simply asking. Amen. But they push me into desperate seeking. Amen. But the egg pictures the rarest, most pressing, urgent need. A miracle, amen, of imminency. That if God does not move immediately and definitively, we are in big trouble. Amen. I'm not knocking. Amen. Amen. I'm going to knock with desperation, urgency, and fervency. Amen. And if God does not act soon, then it will soon be too late. Amen. Anybody there? The next thing I want to point to us in this text. So there's this sequence of increasing value and increasing desperation. Then there is the underlying tone of a substitution of evil intentions. Which of you that is a father, if he ask bread, would he give him a stone? There's a substitution. Here are the good gifts. The good gifts is bread, fish, and an egg. Now, there are stones that very much resemble a loaf of bread. In fact, I believe that during Christ's temptation, when the devil came to him and said, turn these stones to bread, he probably was presenting him with a stone that looked very much like a loaf of bread and said, if you're the Son of God, take this stone and make it into bread. Because stones can resemble a loaf of bread. And there are fish that look like serpents and vice versa. There's the eel and the snake head, and a fish called the berba, and a bowfin, and a lamprey. In fact, there are over 15 kind of fish that more resemble a snake than a fish. But they're still a fish. But the worst of these substitutions, amen, is which of you, if your son asked of you an egg, would give him a scorpion? Now, in Bible days and in old days, as I mentioned, eggs were not grown and raised and produced for mass production. And so eggs were harvested from the wild. And actually, interestingly enough, a few weeks ago, Grant wanted me to watch a little YouTube video with him, and so we sat down to watch it together, and there was this African tribe, and they were actually going out harvesting eggs. I'd already been studying this, and already been looking into this, but they were actually going out into the wild, and they were harvesting these eggs, various types of eggs out of the wild, because it was part of their diet and their daily sustenance to harvest these eggs from the wild. And so what is the correlation between scorpions and eggs? Well, I read that there are 21 kinds of scorpions in the nation of Israel. And in Israel, there's what is called the white scorpion. It's classified as a fat-tailed scorpion. And what it does is it curls up in a ball, amen, in the cold of night. It curls itself up in a ball and it lays there on the ground, amen, trying to keep its body heat together. Amen. As the temperature of the atmosphere drops, and they said many in the old days, many of a true Jewish child would go out searching for eggs and would find one of these scorpions and would pick a scorpion up, thinking that it was an egg. Amen. And Jesus, amen, these people are very well acquainted with all of these analogies, although they're foreign to us. And Jesus is saying, which of you is a father, if his son ask of him an egg, would give him a scorpion? Amen. I want to tell you, there is an evil father who is a master at evil substitutions. Amen. The devil will hand you what you think you have always wanted. Amen. The devil will hand you what you think you've always desired. And in the end, he has not given you an egg, but he has given you a scorpion. Amen. Amen. No decent earthly father would ever give one of their children a scorpion in place of an egg. Amen. But the devil is that wicked, evil father. Amen. Who substitutes and gleefully laughs at the pain that he inflicts upon his children. Amen. He promises pleasure in sin, but it produces pain. Amen. He promises fun to our young people. Amen. In the end, amen, he gives them a life that is shattered and broken. Amen. He promises acceptance if you participate. In the end, gives you abandonment and betrayal. Amen. The devil is that evil father that promises the egg that you always wanted, but in the end, you get the sting of a scorpion. Amen. I want to pause a moment here before I go on with my message to tell you, amen, that there is a sting in that adulterous flirtation. There is a sting in that racy website. There is a sting in that high school friend contacting you on Facebook or social media. Amen. In fact, the Bible says there is a sting in that sip of alcohol, because at last it stingeth like an adder, Proverbs tells us. Amen. There is a sting in fitting in with those worldly friends at work. There is a sting in that music of the world that you're being tempted to embrace and to take into you. Amen. The devil is the evil father with evil intentions that gives you that evil substitution. Amen. He promises bread, but you end up breaking a tooth on a stone. He promises a fish, you end up getting bit by a serpent. He promises an egg, and you end up getting stung by the scorpion. Amen. In contrast to that, amen, the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. And Jesus concludes this, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, amen. And in Matthew it says, give good things to his children. Amen. But in Luke it says, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Amen. I come to tell you this morning that your heavenly Father knows exactly what you have need of. Amen. If your need is bread, he knows it. If your need is a fish, he knows it. But if your need is an egg, he knows that as well. Amen. Amen. Your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of before you even ask. Amen. The story is told of a king who was holding an important council. His advisors and noblemen and ministers of state were all present, and they were in deep, serious discussion about the matters of the kingdom at hand. Suddenly, there's a loud bang, startled them and interrupted them, and all eyes turned to the door as a young boy burst into the room, one of the guards trailing him, trying to catch it, saying, "Hold on there, you're disturbing the council of the king," to which the little boy turned back and said, "He may be your king, but he's my father." And he ran and jumped in the king's arms. Amen. To say, amen, that being a child of the king outranks a nobleman, it outranks an advisor, it outranks an ambassador, it outranks any dignitary. To be a child of the king. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning that being a child of the king outranks being an angel. It outranks being a cherubim. It outranks being a seraphim. Amen. Yes, your Father knows what your need is. And he desires only to give you good gifts. Amen. While crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner, the story is told of F.B. Meyer, and he was asked by the captain to give an address to the first class passengers. So he gave a little devotional slash sermon on the subject of answered prayer to that group of people that gathered. There was an agnostic who happened to be present. And afterwards, he was asked, "Well, what did you think of the sermon today?" The agnostic replied, "I did not believe a word of it." Later in the afternoon, Myers was asked again to speak. This time, he was asked to speak down among the fourth class passengers. When word got around that there was another meeting to be held that afternoon, the agnostic decided he was going to go to again hear in his words what this babbler had to say. Before going to the meeting, he went by the kitchen and he seen a bowl of oranges. So he reached over and slipped an orange in each pocket and walked on to where the meeting was to be held. As he was walking towards the meeting, he noticed an elderly woman sitting in a chair on the deck, fast asleep, with both hands relaxed and open. The agnostic, thinking that it would be funny to pull such a prank, took those two oranges and placed them into the elderly lady's open hands. After the meeting, as he returned back the way he came, he seen that same lady sitting there in a chair eating an orange. Smiling to himself, he said to her, "You seem to be enjoying that orange." "Yes, sir," she said. "My father is good to me." He looked at her, knowing she was quite up in years. He says, "Your father? Is he alive?" "Oh, yes, praise God," she said. "My father is very much alive." He looked at her and says, "What do you mean, ma'am?" He said, "Sir, I've been seasick ever since I got on this ship. And this morning I sat here in this chair and prayed. And I told my Father in heaven that if it was possible, an orange sounded almighty good to me. And I believed it would help me relieve some of this seasickness. And when I woke up, there wasn't one orange. There was two. Oh, yes, sir. My Father is good to me. Amen. And I come to tell somebody at Union Road on a Sunday morning, your Father is good to you. Your Father does know where you are. Your Father has heard your prayers. Amen. Your Father has bottled up every tear you've cried. He knows. He is a good Father to his children. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Notice, he speaks of good gifts. Amen. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts? Amen. But there is no previous mention of the Holy Spirit in the discussion until the end of this passage and the last verse. Amen. Now, when I read Matthew's account, and Matthew's account is the one that I'm most familiar with, my mind automatically thinks good things. But for some reason, Luke did not record it that way. He did not record it to be good things. He recorded it, your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Amen. And I want you to understand the Holy Spirit's response to our prayer. The Holy Spirit's response to our intercession. No matter what the need, no matter what the request, no matter what the level of desperation, no matter whether you're asking for bread, if you're asking for fish, or if you're asking for an egg. Amen. The Holy Ghost is God's Amazon delivery. Every system. Amen. You talk about Amazon Prime. Amen. I don't know how we ever made it without it. Amen. But the Holy Ghost is better than that. There's more to Prime. Amen. Glory to God. I remember the first time my wife talked to me and said, we need to sign up for Amazon Prime. Why in the world would I want to sign up to pay $100 a year and not get anything out of it? Amen. But then the packages started coming because the shipping was free. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I come to tell somebody, go ahead and ask because the shipping is free. It's already paid for. It's already taken care of. Amen. He's better than Prime. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit, no matter what you are asking for, no matter what the need is, the Holy Spirit is God's answer to that prayer. Amen. Now, as Pentecostal people, our mind automatically goes to the gift of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. But I'm saying it's a lot bigger than that, and it's a lot broader than that. I'm not excluding that. I'm not diminishing that. All I'm saying is that's just a little part of what he's talking about when he says it is your Father's pleasure to give you the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. I love this passage in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. In fact, I have leaned on it more heavily in the last few weeks than I ever have in my life. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he searcheth the heart, and he knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good, that them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Glory to God. The Spirit's response. Amen. Amen. To our intercession and the Spirit's response to our infirmities. Amen. No matter what your need is, no matter what you're asking for, you can expect God to come through in an unexpected, supernatural, powerful way via His special delivery system. Amen. And I want to say this before I move on. I'm almost finished. If you could come to the music. Amen. As we're moving to an altar. If the gift cannot be accompanied by the Holy Spirit, then there's a good chance you don't need it. Amen. 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 If what you're asking for and what you're needing cannot be accompanied by the Holy Ghost, you don't need it. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. Amen. Ironside, towards the end of his ministry, spent a lot of time at Dallas Theological Seminary. And Ironside's mannerisms was kind of a little bit country and a little bit folksy compared to the professors of theology at Dallas Theological Seminary. But he was there on an assignment, and there was a need. The school needed $10,000 by the end of the week in order to pay their bills and continue to exist. So the faculty met together, and they made it a matter of prayer. And each one of the members of the faculty took turns praying over this need. And when it came Ironside's turn, in his very common way, he said, "Father, your word tells us that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I'm asking you, would you please sell a few of those cattle and help us meet this need?" Well, some of those educated professors of theology found it a little humorous that he would pray in such a simple prayer, simple manner. Later that day, a letter arrived. And when the secretary opened the letter, out slid a check for $10,000 and a note from a Texas rancher that he had sold a herd of cattle and had felt like God wanted him to give some of the proceeds to the school. I want you to know he knows.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I said he knows. As a missionary to Zaire, Dr. Helen Roosevelt told of a mother who died in their mission station while giving birth to a premature baby. She said, "We tried to improvise an incubator to help keep the baby alive, but we needed a hot water bottle, and the only one we had was damaged beyond repair. We called the children of the orphanage together, and we told them what the need was, and we asked them to make it a matter of prayer, and we went to prayer. When it was one little girl's turn to pray, she prayed, 'Dear God, please send us a hot water bottle for the baby today. Tomorrow will be too late because by tomorrow the baby will be dead. And dear God, would you please send a doll so her sister will not be so lonely?' That afternoon, a large box arrived from England. The children watched me as I untaped the box and began to unpack the box. Under a few layers of miscellaneous clothing, much to our surprise, was a brand new hot water bottle. Immediately, the little girl who had prayed so earnestly began to say, 'Dig deeper, there's a doll in there too.' And she was right. We got to the bottom of the box, and there a doll lay. Our Heavenly Father knew the need 5 months before it ever transpired. And she put it on a ladies' ministry group to send us a box of clothing and to include a hot water bottle and a doll." Amen. And I come to tell somebody this morning, and I believe the Holy Ghost is prompting me to say it, He knows exactly what you need. I said he knows exactly, not exactly, pun intended. If you need an egg, ask for an egg, because my Father is a Father who gives eggs to his children. Amen. Standing all over the building this morning, if you ask an egg, he is not going to give you a scorpion. Amen. If your egg is a lost child, if your egg is a prodigal child, if your egg is a dysfunctional home, if your egg is a marriage that's falling apart, if your egg is an incurable diagnosis, or any other number of impossible circumstances, I come to tell somebody this morning, ask for the egg. I said, ask for the egg. Amen. If you ask for an egg, you can expect an egg. Amen. Anybody this morning want to make their way to this altar and say, I need an egg this morning? Amen. I need God to do something spectacular. I need God to do something miraculous. And I am bringing my need, I'm bringing my tears, I'm bringing my aching heart to this altar one more time this morning, knowing that my Heavenly Father knows that I need this morning Him to move. Amen. These altars are open. Amen. Let's come in and let's bring our needs. Let's bring our brokenness. Let's bring our tears. Amen. Let's bring our needs. Lord, I need an egg. Amen. Lord bless you this morning.
What's your impossible? What's your impossible? I need a miracle. What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, when the answers won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. Mountains move with just a little faith, and your Father's heard every single word you're saying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. 'Cause mountains move with just a little faith, and your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying. He is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Alpha and Omega knows how your story ends. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, when the answers won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Oh, do it one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. 'Cause mountains move with just a little faith, and your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying. He is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Alpha and Omega knows how your story ends. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, when the answers won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Oh, do it one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't at your knees, wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. This mountain's move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. And let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. This mountain's moved with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying. What's your impossible? I need a miracle. What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, when the answers won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. This mountain's moved with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying. End. Don't stop praying for deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying for the sickness healed. Don't stop praying for the power revealed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying for the kingdom come. Don't stop praying that His will be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying for the prodigal. Don't stop praying for the miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying that addictions end. Don't stop praying for deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Praying for the sickness healed. Don't stop praying for the power revealed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying for the kingdom come. Don't stop praying that His will be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. And let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word.